Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Next guest, friend of this show, old colleague of mine, and a guy with his finger on the pulse in Fresno, columnist at the Fresno Bee, Mark Warsawski, joining us now. Tim DeRuiter to Oregon. You were my first thought, Mark. What kind of coordinator is Oregon getting?
I mean, they're getting a pretty experienced, proven, successful one. Those are three adjectives that I think are all pretty fair. I mean, DeRuiter's been a success coordinating defenses wherever he's gone. So, obviously Oregon fans have seen it firsthand what he's done in Cal the last few seasons. And I just looking at the recent scores, it looks like the Golden Bears were pretty stout on defense when they played the Ducks in the last couple of years. So, you know, Oregon gets a good coordinator and they weaken an opponent also. So there you go.
You know, what was his, like, not everybody's a head coach, right? We saw it with Mark Helfrich at Oregon. He was a really good coordinator and a good position coach and teacher, but when you made him the head guy, he struggled. Where did Tim DeRuiter struggle as a head coach?
I think he struggled in the recruiting and just maybe talent identification part of it. You know, I mean, the signature, you know, he had come to Fresno State from Texas A&M. He had Texas recruiting ties. And I think he was a pretty staunch believer that, you know, that he could somehow get there was so much talent in Texas that it wasn't picked over by everybody already, that he'd managed to get some of the Texas leftovers to come to Fresno. And, you know, he had assistants that had ties in Texas as well. And I don't think he didn't do a great job of recruiting local talent here in the Valley. And that was one of his, you know, people's main criticisms. And then, of course, it all came to a head with his, you know, the disastrous, you know, blunder of his tenure was, you know, the whole Josh Allen situation. Here you've got a quarterback who's, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's from Fireball. It's a small farming town 40 miles west of Fresno. The coaching staff at Fresno State knows about Josh Allen. He's attended their camps. You know, Josh Allen's dad played golf with DeRuiter at charity tournament. I mean, they knew about him. You know, he wasn't the 6'5 strapping Josh Allen that we see now. He was like 6'1, but he still had that strong arm and he had athleticism. And, you know, the Bulldogs didn't recruit him. They opted for a similar size quarterback from Texas who really never made an impact here. And then we all know what happened to Josh Allen. So, in fact, when Barco, Jim, Mr. Barco, became the Fresno State Athletic Director, he mentioned, you know, that when he introduced, the press conference introducing, you know, DeRuiter's replacement, you know, Jeff Tedford, he made a point of saying that the new head coach will recruit in Fireball. So that was, he's going to comb the valley, and he mentioned Fireball, Barco did, right? So it was a direct dig, I think, at DeRuiter there. So that was his, you know, his problem, I think. He just couldn't replenish the talent. You know, and you know, when he had talent here, he inherited, you know, Derek Carr and Davante Adams. He was, you know, wildly successful right away. I think they went 11-2 and were threatening to, you know, bust the, you know, to get to one of those spots in, you know, at large spots in the playoff before they lost the final regular season game. So, you know, but once that talent moved out, he couldn't replenish it. And, you know, they went downhill pretty suddenly and pretty fast.
Tim DeRuiter ended up 30-30 before being fired at Fresno State. Man, Josh Allen, like, how does that fly now in Fresno when people see the kid from Fireball?
Bad. It's bad, yeah. It's bad. People don't forget about it. Anytime people can bring that up, they do, right? So, again, Josh Allen wasn't the 6'5 stud that we see today when he was a senior in high school. And he was like 6'1. He actually had a a lot of his growth came in a junior college, you know, Reed Lee College, where he transferred to because he didn't really have any offers coming out of high school. But Fresno State, he grew like 3 inches in a year, 3.5 inches, and Wyoming found him right in Fresno State's backyard. Fresno State didn't even follow up on that. So again, that, you know, that all falls under the Deruder regime, and you know that's how you go from 11-2 to, you know, they finished 1-11 his final year, and he didn't see the last four games, so that's why his record ended up at 500 here. So, but yeah, that's how it is. But again, like you said, there are certain guys who are made to be coordinators, right, and not head coaches. And Deruder, you know, he's an excellent coach, and I found him to be really personable. He was good to talk to. The players liked him. He's a smart guy. I mean, he was in the Air, you know, he went to the Air Force Academy. He served in the Air Force. You know, he'll joke about his service. You know, he kind of downplays it. But anyway, just a real solid individual that, you know, I mean, everywhere he's gone, his defenses have gotten better. So, again, I think for Oregon in this situation, I mean, it seems like a you know, maybe not a splashy hire, but a very solid one.
Yeah, and I think he's a guy who has given Oregon fits. He shut him out twice in halves in the last two seasons. He's held him to 17 points each time. Real thorn in their side. We're talking to Marek Wierzowski. He's a columnist at the Fresno Bee. All right, so if I told you, look, Oregon's got recruiters. That's what they do. What they really need is game management. They need guys who can teach and coach and adjust during a game. Would you say that's about as good as it gets with Tim Deruder? Like, he's going to be left to teach and coach and adjust?
That's what he does. I mean, and again, if you want to go even deeper, he's a linebacker's coach. That's his expertise, right? At Texas A&M, his star pupil was Von Miller. I mean, you can see the – and again, I don't know. This is the other thing, is that he's been a – Deruder's been a 3-4 coach pretty much everywhere he's gone, right? Three down linemen, four linebackers. And I don't know how that meshes with – what Oregon's been doing lately or even their current personnel. But, you know, I would assume he's going to implement the same system. And, again, it's, you know, Oregon probably has the personnel to run it, right? You need a nose tackle with a 3-4 is vital. But, again, you need those outside linebackers because those are your primary pass rushers, and your inside linebackers are kind of the tackling machines. You know, the linemen in a 3-4 are mostly just holding up blockers, a lot of them, and letting linebackers make the play. So, I mean, that's if I'm a linebacker at Oregon, you know, I kind of like this formation, although maybe this alignment, even though it might be different from what I'm playing. But again, that's what Deruder's strength is like as a coach and a teacher. And again, linebackers are his specialty and emphasis.
I think it's really interesting with an Oregon defense that's, you know, got a Noah Sewell at linebacker and a Kayvon Thibodeau on the defensive end. It feels a lot like Mario Cristobal has brought in an assistant coach that fits them well. Again, we're talking to Marek Wierzowski at the Fresno Bee. I got to ask you, man, how is the Central Valley doing amid all the fires, the pandemic? You know, and how did that sort of go down in that community?
Oh man, I mean, probably similar to what you guys experienced up there. Maybe with, well, okay, I mean, some of the things going on in Portland, you know, we didn't experience down here, you know, especially in the summer. But, yeah, with the fires, and we've had, you know, we had one of the worst fires in, you know, California history, the largest single incident wildfire. So it wasn't a complex fire, but one fire that, you know, burned, you know, almost 300,000 acres just east of Fresno. And that, you know, that raged for months. And for the first month, I mean, you couldn't even go outside. Because the air was so smoky, and you know, forget wearing masks for the pandemic, we were wearing masks, you know, to save our lungs from all the, you know, terrible carbon emissions that we have to breathe. So it's been a brutal year. That has things have, you know, that the fire has calmed down now. It has been put out. It's contained. You know, looking out my back window, we got storms and clouds are over the Sierra, so that's great. You know, so I think we're going to get much needed rain and snow the next week and a half, which is going to please all the farmers and skiers. But it's been a tough year, and you know, I think just like everybody else, we're hoping things return to normal. But our, you know, our COVID numbers here are sky high, so you know, we can't get that vaccination in the people's arms soon enough, and hopefully see those numbers drop and start resuming, you know, life how it used to be.
All right, we're looking, you know, we always see the Pac-12 from the inside. It's nice to get an outside-in perspective. What do you make of sort of what has become of the Pac-12 conference?
It's been, well, they're going to have a new commissioner, right, John? No more marble tubs and, you know, comp suites at the Aria for the next commissioner. I'm going to guess, just taking a wild guess there. I love that stuff. You know, I grew up in the Bay Area, like 8 miles from Stanford University. I saw every Stanford quarterback, you know, all the way up until Elway play, you know, Turk Schonert, Steve Dills, John Pay, Elway, I can name, you know, Mark Benjamin before that. I can name them all. Been a big Pac-10, you know, fan, now Pac-12 my whole life. It is rough to see the conference in the kind of state that it is. I mean, and I, you know, it does come down to money. I mean, you know, besides a place like Oregon that can compete at a, you know, almost at the same level with the powerhouses in the South and the Midwest, and perhaps USC and Washington, you know, the rest of the conference is just, you know, has lagged behind. And even those schools, you know, especially USC, haven't held up their end in a while. So, I mean, I think the Pac-12, I mean, I think, you know, the Pac-12 likes to be the conference of champions. It takes a lot of pride in, you know, the success they have in Olympic sports, and justifiably so. But, you know, to close that gap you're talking about, you're going to need to bring a football person in there, right? And be interesting to see how they do that.
Yeah, it's been an interesting time, and certainly for everybody. But I think this commissioner leaving on Wednesday night was a breath of fresh air for the conference. We're talking to Mara Korsoski. He's a columnist at the Fresno Bee. Does a terrific job. You should follow him on Twitter at MarkTheBee. All right, Fresno State football after Tim DeRuiter. What happened in the wake of Tim DeRuiter? We know what happened before, but what happened after him?
Well, it was kind of a strange thing, right? DeRuiter's last season, you know, his last two seasons, he went 3-9, and then so that was the collapse. And then the next year, you know, they went 1-11, and he got fired with 4 games left, so he did not see the end. But then, you know, Jim Barco was the athletic director then. He had been brought in toward the end of DeRuiter's tenure. He hired, you know, Coach Jeff Tedford, and then Jeff Tedford pulled a DeRuiter, right? He used pretty much the same players that were 1-11 with DeRuiter, and he engineered the swiftest turnaround, you know, one of the swiftest turnarounds in college football history. You know, they won 10 games the next year and then 12 the year after that until they had a little downtime, and then and Tedford retired for health reasons. So, you know, again, that was kind of wild. You know, all these, you know, we thought there was no talent in the program, but Tedford certainly made use of it and made use of it quickly. So that's been kind of odd. And then, you know, hired a younger coach to replace Tedford, Kalen DeBoer, who has been kind of a hotshot, you know, assistant. And he had been at Fresno State. He had been in Indiana in the Big Ten, has a little success there in 1 year. So, you know, they had a decent year. You know, they didn't qualify for a bowl. They did, you know, so they, you know, but I think things are looking up again. They have a pretty, I think in a few years, we're going to be hearing about Kalen DeBoer's name for Power 5 jobs. And he's kind of young enough and bright enough, and I think, you know, smart, good enough coach that he's going to get Fresno State back, you know, to the top of the conference with Boise. So I think that's going to happen sooner rather than later.
Marek Korsoski, I appreciate you, my friend, and I want you to stay safe out there, stay well, but thank you for making time for us and sharing your expertise.
You're welcome, John. Good to hear your voice.
You too, buddy. All right. Mara Korsoski, former colleague, friend of this show, good follow on Twitter, outdoors guy too. Like, he's always backpacking, wandering into the wilderness, at Marek the Bee on Twitter. Good stuff there. That's what you're getting in Tim DeRuiter. And I hadn't even thought about the linebacker part of that. Like, if you're Mario Cristobal, your allegiance on the defensive side of the ball, where's your strength? It's in the linebackers, the strength of the Oregon defense. It's in those linebackers. You just got a coach on the defensive side who's a linebacker whisperer. Good stuff from Marek there. Leave it here. Our big splash is coming up. The other day on the show, I made reference to Henry Aaron, baseball's home run king. Yeah, he's still the king. He was everything that Barry Bonds tried to be, except he didn't look like he was trying so hard to be it. Henry Aaron, I made reference to him the other day because I was talking about his, you know, his home runs. And I said, you grow up looking at a guy who hit, you know, 755. That was a thing. We always talked about it as kids. He was the home run king. You know, and this is a guy in Major League Baseball history. He hit 355 in a season. You know, he averaged somewhere around 40 home runs a year for a long time. He took it 23 years in the league. And frankly, the remarkable thing about Henry Aaron was he never hit more than 47 in a single season. But he hit 44 and 44 and 44 and 44 and 43 and 40 and 45. You know, he was just always around there, so consistent. But I was talking about Henry Aaron because I was pointing out you got to take your swings, right? 755 home runs, but nobody talks about 1,383 strikeouts that he had. Nobody talks about that, you know? Almost doubled up on strikeouts. But Henry Aaron took a shot, right? Like Hamilton, you know, he's not going to waste his shot. Henry Aaron is the subject of today's Big Splash.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the Big Splash. Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Henry Aaron, greatness, grace, probably unappreciated for years. And yet today you look back and Henry Aaron was a hero to a lot of people. Iconic figure throughout his career and even after. He defied racism. He performed at a high level. He passed away today at the age of 86. Here's the call. Vin Scully calling Henry Aaron's 715th home run.
Once again, a standing ovation for Henry Aaron. Though the confrontation for the second time, Aaron walked in the second inning. He means the tying run at the plate now, but we'll see what Downing does. Al at the belt delivers, and he's low, ball one. And that just adds to the pressure. The crowd booing. Downing has to ignore the sound effects and stay a professional and pitch his game. One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone.
Henry Aaron, home run king. There it was, 7:15. Vin Scully on the call as Henry Aaron got that done. But he passes away at the age of 86. A good life for Henry Aaron. But former MVP in the National League.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.